I was about to say, oh, you're so silly, you should let go of that. But then I realized I've had times where if I feel like I've been out of the house too much.
You have mentioned that.
Yeah, like a combination of like, oh, not only did I spend time with another partner this week, but also like I was in lyric class twice a week and then I went and hung out with this friend. Yeah, I got some weird feelings that came up about you're just like leaving your partner at the house all the time and leaving him alone. And what are you doing? Why aren't you there all the time? And having to come to you to check myself and to check in with you, right? Of like, are you feeling okay? Am I abandoning you? Am I leaving you alone too much? And pretty much every time you're like, nah, man, leave more.
Welcome to the Multiamory Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
We believe in looking to the future of relationships, not maintaining the status quo of the past.
Whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, swinging, casually dating, or if you just do relationships differently, we see you and we're here for you.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about the joys of being single, even if you're not single. Right now is a time where many people have either gotten out of relationships and are adjusting to a new way of living their life, being more single, I could say, as well as a time when a lot of people are starting new relationships and they're suddenly entwining with someone and maybe losing out on some of the good parts of being single or being more independent. So in this episode, we're going to be exploring some information about singleness in general and trends in that, especially in the United States. And then we're also going to look at what are the things that make people successful in terms of life happiness as single people, and then look at how we can incorporate that into our lives, whether we are actually single or not. If you're interested in learning more about our fundamental communication tools we reference on this show, check out our book, Multiamory: Essential Tools for Modern Relationships. It covers our most used communication tools for all types of relationships, whether those are friends, family, or romantic partners. You can find links to buy it at multiamory.com/book or wherever you like to get books.
I have not been single in a really long time.
Yeah, me too.
I tried to remember the last time I was single, and I think it was in college, which was now over 13 years ago.
Goodness.
That's a long time to not be single.
I have had some weird moments where, especially if I've gotten out of a relationship recently, where I'm like, oh yeah, now it's that time where I'm single and I got to get back to myself, and I have to be like, oh wait, no, I'm not technically single. I'm still in relationships with other people, but there's like this part of me that has become newly single.
There you go.
Just is different. Yes. I don't know if it counts. Yes. I think someone who's been actually single living by themselves for a really long time would say that doesn't count.
And I think that's kind of the point of this episode, is to explore the whole range, I guess, of what singleness means, right? And I think that even the term single is really built around a society where you're either married or single. And those are your only two real options. Like kind of the whole concept of singleness is there, right? Because in our modern day, when do you become not single? Is it if you're dating at all? Is it if you have a friends with benefits, are you still single or not? But if you hang out with them too much, do you now become not single? And then the question, like Dedeker brought up, of say you're non-monogamous, or even if you're monogamous, but you're long distance from your partner for significant portions of the time, does your life become kind of more single during those times when you're less entwined or more entwined?
Mm.
And I think that's part of the heart of this, is it's about independence and the choices that we make with other people versus ones we make on our own, and what types of connections we value and prioritize in our lives. And that's all the landscape that we're going to be exploring on this journey today.
Love a good journey. Yeah, I like being able to thread this needle and look at this sense of how do you find independence, even if you are dating people, even if you're living with a partner, even if maybe you're living with multiple partners.
Yeah, my best friend James, who has a lovely, wonderful partner who's his husband for a number of years, I think at least the last 5 years, he will regularly take trips to like Vegas or various places alone. And I remember him telling me that one of the first times that he did that, his parents were like, wait a minute, are you and Andrew not doing well? What's going on? Is everything okay? He's like, I just want to go to Vegas and do some things that maybe Andrew doesn't love to do, like hang out at the pool and drink mimosas or something. And like, I'm just going to read and be nerdy by myself. And it's totally fine. And I really respect that in people who have maybe more normative relationships than non-monogamous people, for example.
Sure.
That they are able to say, hey, I need my alone time. My partner needs their alone time. It's really important to be able to do that, even though we are entwined in a very legal sense, in a very public way as well.
Sure.
I think that part of this goes with this assumption that, I guess, one, that no one would want to be single if they had a choice. Like, no one would want to be alone if they had a choice. I think that's one assumption that a lot of people bring to this. I've had the same struggles when Gwynne Dedeker would be in Australia when she had a partner there, and she might be there for several months, where if I were telling people about, you know, someone new that I met, or like the person at the coffee shop or whatever, just kind of like, oh, yeah, my, you know, oh, Australia, that's cool. My partner, my girlfriend is there right now. And then realizing, shit, now I've walked into a weird situation that I have to explain why she's gone for so many months. Because they're like, is it for work? I'd be like, ah, oh, she has family there that she's visiting. They're like, oh, and you're not going with her? I'm like, oh, I... not this time. And I'm just like, ah, shit. It's like, it's become weird now because there's all these assumptions that come with it.
Absolutely.
But I think also when it comes to that, I think a lot of people assume that, like, especially if people are partnered, they assume that if I were alone or if my partner were alone, that's when they're going to go wild doing all the stuff that they can't do while they're with me, or that I can't do when I'm with them, which I think from a monogamous mindset, it goes to sex and dating new people. Whereas I think that from my experience, it's more the like, wow, I get to, you know, stay up late playing video games with my friends and like being loud, or watching movies that Dedeker doesn't like, or something like that. And I think that several years ago, I think when non-monogamy was newer to me, it was a little bit more of a sense of like, oh, I should be dating now because that's what I do when I'm in this like single state. Like I'm in the alone state. I should be doing these things. I should be looking for these types of connections. And I think that as I've learned to let go of that and instead realize like what are the things I just really like having my independence to do, those times of singleness, like single lookingness, look very different and are honestly much more fulfilling. So let's talk about singleness in general, just sort of trends and things like that. It's something we talked about on a few episodes, but it's been at least a couple years since the last time that we talked about this specifically. But just the first thing to realize is that it's more and more common. So according to Pew Research, in 1990, around 29% of US adults live unpartnered. And that's worth noting that, again, the definition of what's single or not is unclear, but this is that they live unpartnered, right? So they live on their own or with roommates or someone who's not a romantic partner. In 1990, it was 29%. And in this most recent one that I found, which was from 2021, it was around 40%.
Wow.
So that's a pretty significant increase over 31 years in that amount of time. So yeah, becoming a lot more common. And specifically, the population of people between 25 and 54 who have never been married make up a larger portion of that now. Like basically that group has been growing, which again, makes sense. I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course, that makes sense. So that's gone up 14% since 1990, as far as how much they represent of that study. So pretty significant to basically say that we have this much more significant number of people that are not just single, but that to a certain extent seem to be single by choice, or at least never married.
All right. Yeah, makes sense.
In terms of single, do they mean single because they have never been married at all, but they may still be partnered in some way? Or single like they don't even live with a partner, they don't even have a partner, that kind of single? Because I think that when we talk about single, we tend to mean that other one, the not currently having a partner.
Right. And as I mentioned at the beginning, that one's hard to pin down, like what counts as a partner, when is a relationship serious enough, whatever. So in this particular research study, it has to do with, were you living with someone you identify as a romantic partner? Maybe they had partners, maybe they were dating lots of people, we don't know, but it's more about that they're living a more single-looking kind of life, right? Because that's, you're able to measure that a little more clearly.
And what we're also seeing is that the research shows that approximately half of singles today lack an interest in dating or seeking relationships. I can see some people really hand-wringing about that. And on the flip side, I can see that as a good thing, that maybe there's more people who are feeling more comfortable and better able to accomplish the things in life that they want to accomplish without needing to be dating or needing to be in a relationship or a couple relationships in order to accomplish that.
This was something that I kind of had to come to terms with my mother, for example, who is pretty single by choice and has decided really that she doesn't want somebody to come into her life to like screw up, I think, her happiness and equilibrium.
Interesting.
And I guess, you know, it took me a little while, but I can understand that, I think, a little bit more as I age, because especially for her, she has such a routine, she has such a way of doing things that is very specific to her and her happiness. And I do think that having somebody come in and disrupt that would be really difficult for her. Can the two of you think of other ways why a person would not want to be partnered and choose to remain single?
I think that the independence piece, and I think also more people realizing that they don't necessarily have to be in romantic relationships to have a fulfilling sex life. There's another one that some people could really freak out about that being the case. But I think that could be part of it. I imagine there could be aspects of people feeling like they need to prioritize careers more than being in partnerships. Or it could also just be that people feel like putting off seeking partners until later in life is a viable option. I think that could be part of it too, that maybe we are making some progress on doing away with this myth that once you're past a certain age, you're no good to anybody. Right? Because we've seen the age at which people are getting married is also going higher, right? It's later in life.
I think that's a valid point, that maybe we have more resources at our disposal now that enables us to have access to a support network, have access to people to have sex with. Of course, that's always going to be very highly individualized depending on the person's context. Or maybe a lot of us are just burnt. A lot of us are children of divorce and have that hangover looming over us. There's a lot in the mix.
Absolutely. So if we were to look at some of the research here, there was a research article that was published in 2022 called What Makes Single Life Attractive? An Explorative Examination of the Advantages of Singlehood. It's a very, very wordy title there. But one of the things that this found is that when they interviewed, I think, a few hundred singles and asked them what appeals to them about it, why do they like this, that specifically, it was the freedom to pursue their personal goals and freedom from things being dictated by a partner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And I thought that was, that wording was a little bit surprising to me, but I could kind of see that. And I wonder if there might be a bit of a gender division on that. I didn't see those numbers specifically, but if there could be maybe a rising category of single women, single heterosexual women who are like, yeah, I don't like the fact that I'm often expected to subsume my goals into my male partner's goals. Maybe that's total speaking off the cuff from me. I don't know if that's true at all.
And from a statistical standpoint, isn't it true that women tend to not necessarily feel as fulfilled in their marriages, whereas men tend to, and like their life expectancy goes up, but for women, that's not the case?
Yeah, I think that's been corroborated by a couple different research studies.
Yeah.
It is another one, though, that I hope is changing, and maybe we're just not seeing the effects of it, but we've talked about that before when we've talked about codependency, actually, where for men, traditionally, their only kind of emotionally connective relationship is with their spouse. So the whole thing about like life expectancy being lower for single men after divorce, especially, that might be the cause. Again, it's a little bit hard to pinpoint that for sure. But I wonder if especially with younger generations now, this being a little bit more of a move to men being able to be more emotionally supportive of each other. And I think we've still got a ways to go there, but I think that trend is moving to where we might see less of that effect of, well, men, especially as they get older, don't want to be single because then they have no one to talk to and no one to support them, that maybe we'll actually see that balance out a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, I know the statistics that I've seen more recently about people who are older in dating, so people who maybe have already been married, maybe been divorced, or maybe they're widows or widowers or things like that. And I'm talking like later in life, like 60s, 70s or so, that men tend to be much more interested in living with a partner again, and women are much more like, nah, man, I'm never going to live with a partner ever again. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to jump back into being somebody's caretaker.
Totally.
Yeah, that's a great point. I definitely think that can be a significant contributing factor here.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the inspiration for this episode came from an article from Time magazine, from time.com, just titled, Yes, Single People Can Be Happy and Healthy. I mean, I think it kind of says it all right there on the tin. But in this article, one of the main experts that they interviewed was this person, Jeff McDonald, who's a psychology professor at the University of Toronto. And he gave some interesting insights. And one of them was this insight that unpartnered people tend to prioritize their mental and physical well-being alongside strong relationships with their families. And that actually there might be a better sense of self-care amongst people who are not partnered than those who are.
Interesting.
And he doesn't say why that is. And again, it makes me wonder, is it because you've just got more energy and bandwidth for those because you're not spending it all on trying to maintain a relationship?
Maybe.
Or is it this just sort of social idea that when you're partnered, you, I guess, like let yourself go is how people would say it? Or just sort of this assumption that like you shouldn't work on personal improvement once you're partnered because that might mean you're trying to find somebody else? I feel like there's a lot of weird baggage and psychology that comes along with that.
There are a lot of common misconceptions out there about being single. And I think it's really essential to challenge this really harmful perception that being single automatically means that you are more unhappy than those who are partnered. I have found that especially looking at people who are in later years in life, for example, like my mother, I feel like she's happier now than I've ever seen her because she's not kind of looking for a person and feeling, in essence, failure for not finding someone or not finding a dad for me was definitely a thing that she was trying to do in a lot of times in her life. And it's great to realize that people can find happiness in some solitude, and still she has such wonderful friendships with people that she walks with and with family members and all of those things. Like, she finds fulfillment in other ways. People within relationships can also be miserable. They can be really upset and really hate their lives, even if they are coupled with another person.
Yeah, and I think that a piece we'll get into a little more later, too, is that we associate singleness with solitude, and that a lot of the research shows that's not the case at all, actually, that people who are single have very strong social connections with their family, with their friends, things like that. So there's a lot of misconceptions out there to do away with. And so now let's kind of move into What are some of these advantages? I think we've touched on it a little bit, but let's explore that a little bit more. But first, we're going to take a quick break to talk about supporting this show. If you appreciate this content, if you enjoy it, if you find it helpful, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/multiamory. You can join there and get access to a really amazing private community on Discord as well as Facebook. And then, of course, take a moment, check out our sponsors on this show. They do contribute to us being able to keep producing this show. So taking a moment to check them out, if they're interesting to you, use our promo codes, does directly support our show.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I recently had a client of mine ask me, how do you know what's important in life? Like, how do you decide how to spend your time? And my very wise response was, I don't know. I haven't figured that out myself. Why are you asking me? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, first of all. But of course, that does beg the question, time for what? If your time was unlimited, how would you use it? it is really important to know what is actually important to you. How do you prioritize things in life? And therapy can help you find out what matters to you so that you can do more of it.
I recently jumped back into therapy after going through a breakup, and it's just so, so nice to have somebody in your corner when you're going through a really hard change, a really big monumental moment in your life. It's wonderful to have that objective viewpoint, somebody who can really help you with planning for the future or with actionable tools to deal with what's happening in your body and in your mind at that moment. I love my BetterHelp therapist. She's been wonderful. You know, the process is entirely online. It's really convenient. It's really flexible, and it's really suited to your schedule. And I can write her whenever I want to, and she checks in on me on a daily basis. I can conveniently talk to her on the phone if I don't want to do something face-to-face, or even text. There's so many options, and you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/multi today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/multi. This episode is sponsored by Dipsy. We all use our phones for everything at this point, but did you know that you can use it for some sexy me time? And don't worry, your fantasies are safe with Dipsy. And they say here, just don't forget to use your headphones. But I actually love the idea of doing like an old school gather around the radio for the latest radio drama, play it on your nice stereo system with you and a group of close partners or friends or whoever, as just like a nice little romantic and sexy way to enjoy some audio content.
Very intimate. I mean, they do create audio content that is good for you to listen to with a partner, particularly their like sexual education or like pleasurable touch series. But anyway, Dipsy has all kinds of things to offer. It's an app that's full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories, soundscapes, wellness sessions, and also sexy written stories to read. They have a growing library specifically of fantasy series right now that have vampires, Greek gods, fairy smut. You know it, you love it. To explore the bounds of your pleasure.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/multi. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/multi. dipsystories.com/multi.
So jumping into this, the place that I think we should start is that whole idea of aloneness, or the idea that the cure for being alone is a romantic relationship. And so there was an article, this was in the New York Times back in 2007, but it coined this term, the greedy marriage.
And wow. That's such an interesting term.
So fascinating.
Right. And I just thought it was an interesting term, but basically the concept of it is that when people are married, they tend to focus their kind of social energy or their like connective time and effort inside into that relationship and not as much out to other people, like their friends, their colleagues, their family, stuff like that. And so there was actually a study from Gerstle and Sarkissian. This is from University of Massachusetts and Boston College, who wrote a paper called Marriage, the Good, the Bad, and the Greedy, which again, getting into this greediness idea. And they took results from two different nationwide social surveys, and they found that married couples actually spend less time calling, writing, and visiting with their friends, neighbors, and extended family compared to single people.
I would believe that.
Which I think really challenges that myth that the single person is the loner or the less social. And it actually might be the opposite, that the married people are the antisocial ones, according to these results here.
Well, yeah, that not being partnered, it forces you to diversify your social pool.
That's true.
A little bit more. Whereas when you are partnered, even if you have multiple partners, there is still a lot of these cultural forces that encourage you to put all of your stock and seek fulfillment for all of your needs through just your romantic partnerships.
Yeah.
And again, that idea that if you are partnered, you need to be spending all of your free time with that person and not with others. I think that that's really challenging to be on the receiving end of and then realize ultimately, like, wait a minute, crap, this person that was so important in my life for so long, like a cherished friend potentially, or a sibling or something along those lines, that you realize, wow, I really have not been putting time and effort into that relationship because I've been so caught up in my life with my spouse or with my kids. And not saying that those aren't important people as well, but it's difficult to not feel as though you're prioritized by somebody just because they are with another person.
And I think that I can identify with this one myself, especially during times when Dedeker and I are living in the same house, right? Which
is not always consistent.
Not always consistent, but has been the case definitely for the last, couple of years now. And I do find that for myself, I will sometimes struggle with feelings of guilt if I want to make plans with my friends, whether that's staying in and just playing games with them online, or if it's going out and doing something, that I struggle with just this internalized sense of guilt about that.
Aww.
And luckily, Dedeker is very supportive, and I've talked to her about this, and you know that she will try to help to encourage me to be like, yes, of course, yes, do that. And I do that for her, but it's like for myself, I still feel this guilt. As if a partner would feel slighted by that or would feel kind of betrayed by that. And so I think it's just so ingrained in the way that we've been taught to think about relationships, or at least the way I was.
Yeah, I was about to say, oh, you're so silly. You should let go of that. But then I realized I've had times where if I feel like I've been out of the house too much.
You have mentioned that.
Yeah, like a combination of like, oh, not only did I spend time with another partner this week, but also like I was in lyric class twice a week and then I went and hung out with this friend. Yeah, I got some weird feelings that came up about you're just like leaving your partner at the house all the time and leaving him alone. And what are you doing? Why aren't you there all the time? And having to come to you to check myself and to check in with you, right? Of like, are you feeling okay? Am I abandoning you? Am I leaving you alone too much? And pretty much every time you're like, nah, man, leave more.
You're like, get out of here.
Sometimes it's hard to convey that in a way that's supportive and not saying, I don't want you here, but to just be like, no, please. Like, it's great. Go do it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think a lot of times people can get over dependent on a partner by basically putting all of their happiness eggs in the basket of the partnership or the relationship. And what I mean by that is that you sort of decide that all of your passions and interests may take a backseat to the needs of the relationship or the needs of your partner, potentially even. And I've absolutely had this happen in my life where I think, okay, I need to make sure that I am showing my partner that I care about them. And so I'm going to choose not to do some things that might take away time from them, or feel as though maybe I care more about that thing than I do about them. Mm. And that gets in this like weird codependent cycle that's pretty ugly potentially as time goes on. And if you ever want to break away from that, for example, that may become a really difficult thing to be able to do because they expect that you're just going to basically be at their beck and call.
Yeah, it's that hard balancing act where we don't want to be overly codependent on somebody, but we also don't want to be completely withholding at the same time. You know, the basis of our humanity is a certain amount of shared dependence. But then we do live in a culture at large that both demonizes codependence while also really encouraging you to do it in a relationship.
It is so true.
Yeah.
And I think something worth pointing out with the way this can be detrimental is not just letting go of your own interests or things like that, but it's also putting a lot of burden on that other person to be the one who takes care of you in all these ways. Right. I think that's another piece where, ironically, we could come into this thinking this relationship's important to me. This is the one where I should be putting all my emotional energy, that kind of thing. And by putting all this responsibility on that person to kind of be your therapist, be your personal trainer, be your mom or dad type role at times, that can lead to losing a lot of the parts that are supposed to be the intimate, close, affectionate parts of this relationship because you've also had to make them do all these other jobs. And so it's like, ironically, we not only are putting less energy into our other relationships, but we also might be hurting this one that we think we're putting all of our energy into by the fact that we're trying to put too much into that.
I think it's really important to have boundaries, even in your close relationships. And those are difficult to establish, especially if you haven't established them before and then try to establish them later. I think that change can be really difficult to create and to maintain. But it is important for partners to have separate interests. It's really important for them to have friendships outside of just the main relationship or the multiple relationships. Because again, we can't get fulfilled in absolutely every way by one person. And I think it's so attractive to find a partner or to have somebody who has really important other relationships in their life and who is getting fulfilled in a variety of ways, not just from you.
So there are a couple more pieces that I thought were very interesting that came from Professor McDonald, who is in that Yes, Single People Can Be Happy article from Time.com. A couple observations I thought were interesting. The first was that people who are satisfied with their sex life are happier when they're single. So if we kind of unpack that for a second, basically one thing is that a lot of people who are married or coupled assume incorrectly that single people have all these sexual opportunities. They're having so much more sex than I am. When the reality is, based on the research, that in general, coupled people, not necessarily married, but coupled people, have more sex in general than single people do, than people who are uncoupled. However, they found that the singles who were the happiest were the ones who felt like their sex life was fulfilling. And so I do think, again, this is one of those things that if you traveled back in time, even a couple generations, that's like unthinkable that a single person could have a satisfying sex life. The horror, what are we doing? The society's falling apart. But I think it's worth realizing that sex, or at least finding what a satisfying sex life is for you, contributes to your happiness regardless of what type of relationship status you're in, and that that's worth thinking about that. And for you, finding that satisfaction, maybe having less sex because you felt like you had pressure to when you were in certain types of relationships, or it could be having different types of sex or more of it or something, but just realizing that's still a valid and important thing that contributes to your happiness. The other one is he mentioned that people become more satisfied with being single at around age 40.
Really?
Heck yes, Jace. And then the two of us have something to look forward to. How lovely.
Yeah, but he doesn't really know why. Because again, causation and correlation, it's hard to find causation and really know the reasons for it. A few theories that he threw out there. One is that maybe people have kind of self-selected themselves into groups by then. So the people who were like, I will only be happy if I'm coupled, have done it by then. And so you're left with more people who are happy to be single, and that's why they are. Maybe that's one option. Also, he mentioned that overall, life satisfaction has been shown to go up as you get into your 40s, just in general for people. And so I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah,
maybe there's something about like your differentiation, individuation process, your maturing process as you get older.
And that's my theory about it, is that you've had a little more time to establish your own values and your interests outside of just the ones you've had in relationships. And then maybe also by then you're less invested in social pressure, right? If we think about kind of the evolution of a human, that once we go from childhood into kind of our adolescence, we become hyper-focused on how do we fit into the social circle, right? Like when we're younger, we're just kind of doing our own whatever for the most part, focused on just our immediate family. And then suddenly where we fit in socially becomes really important.
Yeah.
And then I think it takes us a very long time to kind of get out of that. And I don't want to say out of it entirely, but to also then develop some of that independence again. And so maybe that's a contributing factor here as well. And learning these statistics about this age of 40 being significant is very interesting, because in our private Discord server for our patrons, we actually have a channel in there that was created because people requested it, which is a channel specifically for 40 and up discussions. I think there was something there of people realizing, hey, you know what? We want to have some slightly different conversations depending on our age. Like, it can change the way we prioritize things, the way we think about things. And it's just a really cool example of one of the many channels that have been created and that are constantly being updated because of people realizing there's a need for these different types of discussion. And that's really cool stuff that we get to see in our private Discord server, which our patrons can get access to. If you go to multiamory.com/join, you can get more information about that. And of course, that directly supports this show. Additionally, take a moment to check out our sponsors and use our promo codes and links in our episode description, because that also directly helps us support the fact that we put this show out into the world for free every week.
This episode is brought to you by Uberlube. A couple weeks ago, Jason Dedeker gifted me with a fabulous gift of getting to go to a very sexy party. And at that sexy party, guess what they had on all of the tables?
Was it our favorite? Oh, wow.
Oh my
yes,
gosh.
It was our favorite. I know.
That's how you know it's a good party.
Seriously, that's how I know that it's a great party. They had these little packets of Uberlube. It was amazing. And yes, I used it. And yes, it was awesome.
It's intimidating to go to a party by yourself as it is, and then to go to a sexy party also, and like you don't know anyone there, but then there's the familiar face of Uberlube.
I know. No, I it's that. True. Yeah, I felt right at home just with that Uberlube right there.
For those of you who don't know, you should get in the know, but Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients, just silicone and a little vitamin E. It feels amazing. It doesn't have any scent or taste, so that you get to experience the people that you're with, even if that person you're with is just yourself. It is honestly the best. Anytime I have to use another lube, I'm disappointed by it. It's really fantastic. It lets skin feel skin. It lasts how long you want it to last, and then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue or staining your clothing or sheets.
Right now, Uberlube is offering MultiAmory listeners a special offer of 10% off and free shipping when you use our code MultiAmory at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code MultiAmory at uberlube.com. Support for MultiAmory comes from Beducated. Beducated has over 100 online courses on sex and intimacy created by the world's top experts. They have a huge variety, everything from self-pleasure to kink, all in one place. They include video tutorials, practical exercises, and reliable information.
Now, I am a person of a certain age. I actually recently just had a birthday. And while I've, you know, had a lot of sex in my life, I am always willing to learn more things. Sometimes it's really good to be able to go out there and just, I don't know, re-educate yourself or learn something new. And the great thing about Beducated is that it is there and available for you to do just that. So whether you want to learn more things about how to give a great blowjob or cunnilingus or experiments for couples, for triads, for non-monogamous partners, or just how to touch your partner more intimately, Beducated is going to be able to do all of those things just for you.
If you'd like to check it out, click the link in our show description and sign up for Beducated. Use code MultiAmory to get 40% off the yearly pass. So use that link in the episode description and use code MultiAmory to get 40% off the yearly pass. And you can test out the waters with a 24-hour free trial so you can see all of the courses and make sure they're right for you, along with a risk-free 14-day money-back guarantee. So check out the link in our show's description and use code MultiAmory for 40% off the yearly pass at beducated.com.
So I think what all of this is leading up to, whether you are currently unpartnered or living by yourself, or if you are partnered or living with a partner, that clearly there's something valuable and precious about finding the places where you can prioritize your own desires. And it's not necessarily prioritizing your desires at the cost of somebody else's desires and just cutting out everybody else or completely disregarding anyone else that you're connected to. But this is something that you can do not just if you're single. Like, this is something that you can do even if you have other people connected to you.
Absolutely. I think that if you are in kind of a transitionary phase, especially, as I have said about myself going through kind of ending one relationship, starting another, trying to figure out what it is that I really want in my own life and in my relationships in general, I think that that's a really wonderful time in which to explore all of those things, in which to get very clear with yourself, hey, I want to maybe get better at this aspect of my life. I want to focus on things like self-improvement. I want to maybe start a new career or get better at something in my existing career or have a move in terms of my career. Or I just really want to cultivate better relationships with my friends and my family during this time, because those are what I find to be most fulfilling at this particular moment.
I think if you find yourself in that kind of transitional time of maybe getting out of one relationship into another, or that you are dating now, starting new relationships, that that's also a great time to start setting a good precedent. Because I know that a lot of us, especially when we're younger, can really rush to entwine our relationship with someone else and really kind of become consumed by that relationship. And it's the main thing we think about, and all of our choices are for the benefit of that. But this kind of transitional new time is a really cool opportunity to establish some boundaries, or just establish the fact that you also like to have your own time, or that you have your own interests. And I think the key here is also that it's attractive to you that your partner has other interests, has
totally.
Other friends.
Yeah, that's a good way to really
both of you are like, oh my God, really, yes.
Oh my God, yes. Please.
Right. And this is something that I'm blanking now on who it was that first said this when I read it years ago, back in the early days of this podcast. But this idea of seeing your partner from a distance anew, seeing them do a thing they're interested in is hot, is exciting. And that
so
often
hot.
Married couples can lose that because they're doing everything together now, and they kind of lose some of their individual hobbies, whether that's playing in a band or painting or doing some kind of dance or crafts or whatever, that they can kind of just go for the easy thing of, oh, I'll just, you know, watch Netflix, or, oh, we should do something together because that would be selfish of me to do my own thing. But to really realize that it's actually cool, like getting to see your partner do that thing and go, ooh, wow, hey.
Ooh,
hey, because you know what? When you first met each other, they were doing different stuff than you. They had their own interests.
It's true.
And you thought that was interesting enough to start dating them. So let's keep that going, or bring that back. And I think that's a really powerful one for people also who are in longer term relationships already.
So as we close out this episode, we really encourage you all to ask yourself the following questions. First, how can you be more independent within your current relationship status? How can you take some of the things that we talked about today and maybe incorporate them into your life if you are single or if you are partnered? Maybe take stock of, wait a minute, do I find that I'm actually spending a lot of time with my partner, and therefore other things that are important to me in my life or other people that are important to me in my life have kind of fallen by the wayside? Is there something that I can do about that? And how can I actively cultivate a life outside of just this partnership?
This is really important, especially if you're new to being non-monogamous, that there's a certain amount of being able to find your way back to what it is like to be two independent people in a partnership together who have independent plans and independent schedules and independent desires, instead of two people that are just dependent on each other for deciding those things. And sometimes when people haven't reconnected with that, there's an immediate tension there when it's like the first time their partner is going off on a date and it's the first thing they've really done independently in a long time, that can add another layer of difficulty on top of it to making that transition.
Boy, howdy. Yes, that's a hard one to unlearn.
Yeah.
And then it's important to ask the question of, you know, how can I be more independent? But then how can that independence actually improve my ability to connect with other people, including my partner, if I have one, or my friends, rather than hindering it? And that's kind of what we've been trying to get at with all of this, is I think some people think of this dichotomy between having a good connection with my partner or being independent, and that you kind of have to choose between the two. And I actually think that there's a lot to support that one can help the other, right? That maintaining some of your independence in terms of just your interests and having other relationships, you know, with friends or family or coworkers or social groups or whatever, can actually improve your connection with your partner or your partners as well. And I think an interesting kind of closing thought here for those of you who are in more established relationships is, when you come together, what do you talk about? Do you have anything new to tell them that's not just what happened at work that day, or stuff that you two have to do logistically in your house or in your life together? Of like, do you have other stuff that you're talking about? And this could be as simple as, I have an interest in reading books or watching shows that are different from you. That could be one way. But I think it gets even better as you have other social groups and other friends and deep conversations, because it just gives you better, cooler, more interesting stuff to talk about together.
Boy, howdy.
And we would love to hear from all of you on our Instagram at multiamory_podcast. We have a question of the week this week, and that is, what are your favorite parts of the times you've been single? And that time could be right now, but let's celebrate that. What are the best parts about that? Also, if you want to discuss this episode further, the best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is in the episode discussion channel in our Discord server, or you can post in our private Facebook group. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to multiamory.com/join. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. Multiamory is created and produced by Dedeker Winston, Emily Matlack, and me, Jace Lindgren. Our production assistants are Rachel Schenowork and Carson Collins. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.